Let's go to Genesis 1. We're going to look at verses 20 through 23. And we're going to begin to look at the fifth day. We're going to look at the fifth day. Day number 5. We are getting to the end of the week. The end of the week. And Chris is taking on the part that I wish I could take. He's going to take on the creation of man. The end of the week. And next week, we'll look at the beginning of the sixth day. And then I might get all the way through to sixth day, Chris, just to take it away from you. Yeah. But tonight we're going to be looking at the fifth day. So let's look at verses 20 through 23 of Genesis chapter 1. It said, "Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures." The King James says, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly." Abundantly and abound are from the same Hebrew word. "With an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. All right, let me review here for just a moment. Let me review. Genesis 1, 3 through 5. God created light. He created light. Day number 2, he creates the firmament. Now, what is meant by the firmament? Once again, to review, it is the atmosphere that we live in today. Well, let me rephrase that. It is not exactly the atmosphere that we live in today. It was a different kind of atmosphere. It was like a greenhouse. Have you ever been inside of a greenhouse, maybe at a florist? Or maybe when you were in high school, maybe your high school had a horticultural program where they had a greenhouse on site, and people that wanted to get into to agriculture, maybe it's the FHA, or I'm sorry, the not the FHA, that was the Future Homemakers. What's the 4-H? The 4-H clubs. They learn about how to, or the FFA, that's the Future Farmers of America. Okay? They would have greenhouses, so they would learn how to grow. And you walk into that greenhouse, it is a constant. It is a constant temperature all the time, and it is a constant environment. Well, that's the way it was until the flood. The earth was a constant greenhouse. Everything was beautiful. Everything was green. There were not the breakdown of the seasons like we have today. So it was the atmosphere and the heavens, where we're talking about, you remember we talked about the heavens, that the scriptures talk about the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. The first heaven is our atmosphere. The second heaven is the stars and the galaxies. And the third heaven is heaven, where the presence of God is. Then there was, next was, God created the waters, that is day 3, and that is the seas and the lakes and the rivers. And then he separated the seas and the lakes and the oceans. He separated them from land. So then we had the continents, the islands, the dry land. Day 4, 11 through 13 is plant life and vegetation. And then verses 14 through 19, he created and distributed light upon the earth. How did he do that? To regulate the day, the sun, and then at night, to regulate the night, is the moon. The greater light during the day is the sun, the lesser light to rule the night is the moon. And that is also to regulate the seasons, the years, the tides. I heard this past week as I was listening a little bit to John MacArthur. He's talking about the magnificence of God and Christ. And he's talking about how Jesus was present at creation. And he said that everything was placed in such an unbelievable position. The earth is tilted at the right way, at the right spot. that if the earth was tilted even a centimeter towards the sun, we would all bake. And if it was tilted a centimeter away from where the sun is, we would all freeze. The earth would be just one massive block of ice. There's no way we could exist. That if the moon was positioned even a little bit off of where it is now, that all of the earth twice a day would be overwhelmed by water because of the tides. God knew exactly what he was doing. God is all powerful. And we're going to look at that a little bit more in detail tonight. So let's look at the first point. And the first point is simply this. God's word created the water and the air creatures. God's word created the water and the air creatures. Now we have to remember this. This is pre-flood. This is pre-Noah, pre-ark. The water and the air creatures were different than what they are today. Now, how do I know that? There's a thing called dinosaurs. And that there were dinosaurs on the earth in a much larger number. Now, there were some that were actually placed on the ark. But because they were created before the flood, and when that atmosphere broke at the flood, the radiation from the sun was much harsher after the flood. So all those dinosaurs and things that were conditioned to pre-flood, they began to die off slowly but surely. And when we get to the flood, and we're talking in depth about the flood and the effects of the flood, not only on mankind, but also on the animals, we are going to see of the transition of how they changed in form and how they changed to be more like the animals of what we know of today. But God creates the water and the air creatures. So here we have, in verse 20, let's go back and look here again. It says, then God said, let the waters abound or be abundantly with an abundance of living creatures. An abundance. That is a very, very significant word here to me. How many of you enjoy looking out your window or walking through your yard? Or just walking outside and listening. I think the older I'm getting, the more I am appreciative of nature. The thing that got William Wilberforce converted, some of y'all may not know who William Wilberforce was. William Wilberforce was the voice in the early 1800s. The voice for slaves and for the emancipation of slaves in the British Empire. If you have never watched the film Amazing Grace, which came out, I'm going to guess, 9 or 10 years or so, it was a fantastic film about the life of William Wilberforce. But it was nature that sold him on the existence of God. And he was walking through and he said, there is no way that this earth and that there can be such an abundance of birds. And he was looking at the plants. He was looking at how the spiders were of such detail. He said, there's no way that these things could exist without a creator God. And so then he went to God's word, began to study and read about the existence of God. So we need to. So what we can say here is that the creation of animal life, of the water and the air creatures, was unique. Is unique, is distinctive, different. Every bird is different. It's you know what amazes me about birds? is their migratory habits. They know exactly at what time of the year that they need to leave. And they know where to go. There were some scientists that captured some birds, and they put on their legs some tracking devices. And they would track these birds as they flew to South America. And then they tracked them as they flew back. And you know what? They flew back to the exact place that they flew from. Now, tell me that that is not God. And I read this morning. Now, this is kind of off a little bit from the water and sea creatures. But I had to talk to someone recently about, it was the homeschool people. And I said, hey, you might want to be careful with your kids out here on the playground, because I heard the other night that the copperheads are out in force. So just be careful. Well, I told him about that. So I began to look online this morning and began to read about copperheads and snakes in general. Now, y'all know that snakes just creep me out. Okay? But what snake experts have found about snakes is, if you find a snake in your yard and you don't want to kill it, so you just want to relocate it, guess what happens? That very exact snake will come back to where you picked it up from. And it went on to say this. It said, don't fear snakes, because a snake will only attack if cornered. The only snake that will bite you is the one that is attacked. And when they feel attacked, when they feel threatened, then they're going to attack back. But you just leave it alone, and it will leave you alone. Now, I will leave every snake alone. Okay? They don't have to worry about me bothering them. Okay? But if you have a problem, in fact, I read this also this morning. They said the major reptile that takes care of ticks is a snake. Because the major breeder of ticks is a rodent, rats and mice. And what do snakes feed off of? Rodents and mice. So what they are saying is, you need snakes. Don't kill them because they freak you out. Just leave them alone. Just let them crawl off. They will leave you alone if you leave them alone. Okay, well, they don't have to tell me twice, all right? But God creates all things with distinctiveness and unique. Now, I want you to notice this. I did not realize this until I started studying this the other day. In verse 20, I want to read to you from the New American Standard. Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. Here's a key thing here that the evolutionists teach. The evolutionists teach that the oceans produced sea creatures, and that the air produced birds. How dumb is that? I mean, really? You're insulting my intelligence by saying such a thing. And I'm not a very intelligent guy. But that's I do believe, though, that I am smart enough not to believe that. Now, I want you to notice something else here. That God himself, his word, the power of his command, created both sea and air creatures. So here's a key thought that you must remember here, and that is that God's word is powerful. And that God's word has unlimited power. It is his word that created. It had the power to create all the creatures of the water and air. The word create here, let's look at verse 21. Where it says, so God created. Now, in other parts, okay, it says in verse 3, let then God said. Okay, follow along with me here. You're going to have to put your thinking caps on. In verse 6, then God what? Said. In verse 9, then God said. Verse 11, then God said. Verse 14, God said. Verse 20, God said. Verse 21, God what?
Created.
Okay, God created. In verse 1, in the beginning, God what?
Created.
Now listen as I read this to you. The word create, which is in verse 21, which is the Hebrew word for bara, is used for the first time since verse 1. So in the first 4 days of his creation, God used already existing material that he had already created in day one. But what he did was, on the first day, God rearranged or forced the light of the heavenly bodies upon the earth. On the second day, God rearranged the fogs and the clouds. On the third day, God reformed the waters and dry land. On the third day, he formed plant life, vegetation, out of the earth itself. On the fourth day, God took the light that had already existed and distributed it upon the earth. He caused the light of the heavenly bodies to reach the earth to govern its days and nights and its seasons and years. So what is the main point here? The point is that when God created the water and the air creatures, he created them to be different. He created them to be distinct. He created them to be unique. He created animal life out of nothing. And that is exactly what the word bara, the Hebrew word bara or created, means. It means something new. It means completely new. It is creating something out of nothing. So that just clearly disputes what the evolutionists would have you say, that the birds and the sea creatures came out of the air or came out of the waters, and they created themselves out of something. Well, something has to have a beginning. And everything has to have a what? A creator. Every building has to have a building. Every watch has to have a watchmaker. So let's look at the second point. And the second point is that God created every water and air creature after its kind. He created it after his kind. Now let's look at verse 21. So God created great sea creatures. And I believe those great sea creatures are what we talked about this morning in Sunday school with the Leviathan that is talked about in the book of Job. And as Noel pointed out to me, is also mentioned in the book of Psalms. The great Leviathan. It's a great sea creature. A sea monster is really what we could describe it as today. It would be something you would see on a Jurassic Park film or a Twilight Zone episode of these great sea creatures that are in existence. Great whales and things of that nature. Where it says that there were great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Now let me kind of give you a breakdown here. Why is God's creative act here being repeated? It is repeated to stress that God and God alone created every living creature in the waters and the air of the earth. There are three types of animals that are mentioned. It is the great whales or the great creatures. The Hebrew word means the great sea creatures of the sea and waters. They would include the whales, sharks, crocodiles, and other small creatures. Did you know that a reptile never stops growing? That is why you see, you'll go down into Florida and other areas, and you'll find these alligators. You can go into Louisiana. I mean, what's that show about the crocodile guys, or the alligator hunters? What's that show? You ever watch it? You know what I'm talking about? What's the name of it? Swamp People, yeah. It's pretty bad that you have to have closed captioning so you can know what they're saying. But there's these swamp people, doot him. Well, what they're saying is shoot him, all right? But they capture these huge alligators that are just massive. Now, why is that? Because alligators, reptiles, crocodiles, they never stop snakes. They never stop growing until they die. That is why I believe that dinosaurs were so massive. God created them already with age, and they just kept on growing and growing and growing and growing. So it would also include other large creatures. There is every living creature that moves in the water. Now, what are these including? They're including the small fish, creeping creatures of the water, such as crabs, lobsters, shrimp, and every winged fowl. That is every bird, every chicken, ostrich, insects that have wings. Every one of them were created on this day. All that makes up an animal, the chemicals, the molecules, the cells, or DNA, the substance, God created it. Now, what does it mean after its kind? It means that all water creatures, all air creatures, have the power to reproduce themselves. All animal life has some means to carry on its own species, its kind of animal life, to bring forth the same kind of animal life. When an alligator lays eggs, what is in the alligator's eggs? Alligators. When a rattlesnake lays eggs, what are in the rattlesnake eggs? Rattlesnakes. When a robin lays eggs in a nest, what is in the eggs of the robin's nest? Robins. Okay? God had everything planned. Everything was planned. So when an alligator lays alligator eggs, a bird doesn't pop out. God had it designed that they would reproduce their own kind, to propagate its own species. Just think of the mind of God here. And He created all of these things for our enjoyment. There is an app that I found prior to the hurricane. Y'all remember, it was real prevalent on WRAL. They kept showing the flag that was on the closed Coast Guard station about 35 miles out off the coast of North Carolina. And the flag got beat up by the storm and ended up getting auctioned off for funds for the American Red Cross. Anybody seen that story? Am I the only one? You saw it. Okay, I'm glad there's two of us that actually keeps up with things around here. All right. Well, this is the story behind this Coast Guard station. It is a closed Coast Guard station. It used to be like a lighthouse. But now, because of boats having GPSs and things of that nature, they really don't need lighthouses anymore. So the Coast Guard put this Coast Guard station up for auction. And if they weren't going to sell it on the auction block, they were going to blow it up. Well, a man bought it. He lives in Charlotte. He bought it for $35,000. It was a rust bucket. Well, there are college students that he hires. And some of them don't even want money. They volunteer their time for college credit. They will go out there and they will help paint, remove rust, and all of these things. Well, now it's a bed and breakfast. So now you can actually fly out there by helicopter, rent a helicopter, fly you out there. Or you can catch a boat and go out there. And you stay for a weekend or a week at a time. Now, it's a pretty penny to do it. But all the food is there. Everything is there. It's a really nice little deal. Well, they've got a camera underneath it in the water. And you can go online and you can watch it. It's entitled Sharks in the Atlantic. And you can watch it and watch all of these many different kinds of fish swimming around the bottom of this thing. And every now and then you see this great big great white swim by. 30 miles off the coast of North Carolina. There is also another website you can go on to that tracks great whites. That where they have marineologists have placed tags on their fins of great whites. They capture them, put them asleep, put these tags on their fin, or isn't that what you call it? Their fins? And then they drop them off back in the ocean, and they swim, and they track them. Some of them have been tracked as close as 4 to 5 miles off the coast of North Carolina. But to me, that's fascinating to watch these things. Why is that? Because God created them all distinctively. All different, and all very unique. And guess who he did it for? He did it for himself so that he would get all the glory, and then he also did it for who else? Us. So that we would take walks and see the birds and listen to the birds, and you could put your bird feeders out and you could see the many birds come up, and you see the little sparrows come up to your bird feeders, and then you can watch the blue jays in the and the cardinals that are the bullies of the bird feeders come up and chase them away. Okay? It's a beautiful thing to sit there and watch. And as I have told you many times, it's a reminder to me of what Christ said. Don't the birds don't even worry about where their next meal is coming from. And if God cares about the birds, doesn't he care about you? So let's look at the next thing. Number three. And that is that God saw that his creation was good. And that the water and air creatures fulfilled his function. We see that once again in verse 21 at the latter part where it says, and God saw that it was good. And that all of the sea and air creatures are valuable. They all have a specific purpose for being created. And there are at least four reasons why God created the sea and air creatures. Number one, to populate and give life to his creation. How would the oceans be without sea life? Be a pretty boring place, wouldn't it? You know, scuba divers, when they would go scuba diving, they would have a very boring dive. You go to aquariums, it'd be very boring. All you'd see is water. You wouldn't enjoy all of the different sea life. Let me tell you a great place to go. If you go to Myrtle Beach, go to Ripley's Aquarium. How many's ever been there? You've been there, Tom, and you've been there? Isn't it fascinating? Especially the walk that you do underneath these great big. I mean, you're walking, and above you, a shark swims above you. I went there on a field trip one time. And it's just a fascinating aquarium to go through. And then there's the one at Fort Fisher that is a great aquarium to go to. Enjoy these things. To help and carry on the reproduction of the food chain. We wouldn't have any seafood houses if it wasn't for fish. to give variety and beauty on the earth, in the earth's water and sky, to show the glorious handiwork of God, and then to provide a companionship for man. To provide companionship. One of my favorite Andy Griffith episodes is where Opie had to raise the little birds. And Andy teaches Opie a very, very significant lesson in that episode. And it taught me a very valuable lesson in watching that episode in regard to Morgan. Opie raised the birds, and it was time for them to fly away. And it taught me a very valuable lesson that we have raised Morgan, and it was time for her to fly away. And at the end of that episode, Opie lets the birds go, and Andy says, "Opie, aren't the trees sounding beautiful today?" Why? Because of all those birds that were in the treetops outside their home. And then the last thing is this, number four. God blessed the water and air creatures. God blessed them. God gave his blessing to the water and sea creatures. Let's look here at verses 22 and 23. And God blessed them. He didn't bless the vegetation, did he? He didn't bless the sun. He didn't bless the moon. But he blessed the water and the air creatures. Where he says, be fruitful and multiply. Didn't he give that same command to us? Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters and the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now what is this blessing? I'm going to give them to you real quick. There is the blessing and privilege of life. There's the blessing and privilege of life. That they have the privilege of being animated. Watch birds fight over something. Okay, go to an aquarium and watch them as the feeding time, and watch the fish fight over food. Every fish has its own individual. Every species of fish has their own different personality, just like birds. They have their own kind of different personality. The privilege of living on the earth, to give the earth a variety and beauty and provision. And then secondly, there is the blessing and privilege of reproducing, of being fruitful, multiplying, populating the waters and the air, carrying on their particular species. And the power is to reproduce is infused into them, into the very nature of the creature. And they have the power to reproduce and to continue on their species. Now, who placed that power into them? God did. God did. The reproduction was created by God. And God commanded the creatures of both water and air to reproduce. Let me give you a couple of thoughts here. And you can write them down on your handouts if you'd like. Number one, God is the God of life. God is the God of life. Secondly, God is the God of life and hope. God is the God of life and hope. There will come a day in the millennial kingdom where there will be no fear between man and animal. There will be no fear between a lion and a man. There'll be no fear between a snake and a man. You say, Dwayne, how do you know it? Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to look here at verses 6 through 9. All right, you there with me? All right. Verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Okay, what do wolves, they're a predator. Wolves are predators. They go in packs. It's always the alpha wolf that leads the pack. What do they pounce on? Lambs, weak creatures. But here in the millennial kingdom, it says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. That just gives me the creeps. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Y'all remember the crocodile hunter? Okay, remember his show? He'd go into the mountains where rattlesnake dens and just stick his hand in there and pull out a handful of rattlesnakes. That just creeped me out. Okay? You know, when my wife came in, she said, guess who died last night? I said, who? She said, the crocodile hunter. And the first thing I thought was, okay, that snake finally got him. And to think that a stingray got him. You know, the freakiest thing, that a stingray got him. That just proved to me that God's creatures are going to take care of themselves. Okay? And that God has an ending for every man. And that God will determine how and when that day will come. But let's continue reading. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There will be no corruption, be no struggle, no slaughtering, no killing of animals except for own eating, no war. The earth will be recreated and made perfect, and all creatures will live in a perfect state of being, just as they did before the sin and evil corrupted the earth. Let's pray together.